This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
The NHL's created a plan that, depending on world developments, could see a return to play by the middle of May. So we have a possible return date. How optimistic are you that happens?
I'm not overly optimistic, to be fair, and that's just based on, you know, speculation and acknowledgement of world events and developments around the world.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning at TSNradio.ca, TSN1290.ca, I should say, and via the iHeartRadio app, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of self-isolated hockey talk for you on this Saturday morning. Alongside Dave Minuch and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can reach us here in studio via Twitter. Send your tweets to @IllegalCurve. You can also reach us in studio via text message. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates will apply. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets, Manitoba Moose, NHL. Not a ton of news, but there's still some news
there. There's been news.
Dave's updating it.
Yeah.
That's IllegalCurve.com. Gentlemen, good to see you. How has self-isolation been this week for you?
So, Drew, when are we getting into your shaved face here, like the clean-cut look? Because I haven't seen you without a beard in at least 5-6 years. Like, we walked in today. Dave M. and I always come to the show together.
Yes, you guys have
we
a nice little carpool.
And Drew is sitting here in his beautiful purple T-shirt.
Thank you.
And he's got no facial hair.
It's true.
We've now pushed the first segment of the show to discuss Drew's facial hair.
Well, this is clearly the pressing news of the week, Dave. There's nothing else that's gone on more important than the fact that I shaved my beard.
Like, is this COVID-19 related, or is this just, you know, a personal choice?
It's probably a combination of both, I would say. I said to my wife that, hey, you know, if we're going to be stuck inside, you know, self-isolating or whatever for an indeterminate period of time, I might as well shave my beard and start fresh and see how big I can grow it. And so that was my reasoning. And for about 8 minutes, I kept the mustache alone, which Laura, my wife, said that if you don't shave that off, you are not allowed into the bedroom. So I had to get rid of the mustache because it was, as you can see on my Twitter feed right now, excessively creepy. And so I sit here with, about 3 days growth on my face, I think. That's where we're at about right now.
I'm glad that you called your own Twitter profile pic creepy, because it really is.
Oh, it's creepy. I mean, that's a mustache that nobody should sport that mustache. And that's why I didn't
display it as a Twitter photo.
Well, you know, we're in unprecedented times here. So I'm having a little bit of fun with it as all.
That's like Ezzy and I post-Movember, when we did our big shave here in the studio. What was that? What year was that? 2016?
No, way long ago.
I think that was like 2012 or 2013. Yeah, that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a long, long time. Anyways, I thought I'd go for a little bit of a change, but as you can see, it's...
It is one of those things, though, just as an aside, that you do it, and then you take a look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, I look like a guy who drives a van.
Well, and Drew definitely looks younger. Like, instead of looking like 75, he looks like he's like, you know, 60.
Yeah, that's right. Vibrant, you know, youthful. That's me right now. Let's get into talking about the NHL. And it was earlier in the week where, you know, when the suspension of play happened last Wednesday, so only 10 days ago, which feels like...
Technically Thursday.
Pardon me,
Wednesday
Thursday,
was
right. Wednesday
was
the last game,
so
right. It feels like it's been about 3 months, not 9 days, but whatever. The NHL earlier this week told their players that they're free to go home, which for the first little while, they were sort of sheltering in place, being in the city that their hockey team resides in. And then now everyone has been able to scatter in the wind to wherever they want to go with their off season.
Right. Once the CDC made that declaration for no public gatherings of people with more than 50 at least 2 months.
That was the trigger that, hey, this isn't going to be a quick, quick shutdown.
The thought would have been that, hey, players can stick around in their home city or in their, you know, cities that they play in, and then maybe start to gather together in a week to start, you know, practicing together. Once the CDC made that recommendation, I don't know how binding it is, but I mean, it's fairly binding because obviously it triggered, you know, this, and then as a result, obviously all the players made their decisions.
That's right.
So the NHL made the decision.
They made the announcement, and the players have scattered in the wind, and we continue to sit here sort of in unprecedented times. And, you know, we're looking at it's March 21st. What's your best case scenario? Best case scenario, given the announcements of the week, given the news of the week. I mean, can you foresee anything possibly before mid-May?
No,
I don't think so. And, you know, we talk about the Center for Disease Control, right? That kind of announcement, or I guess it's more
proclamation.
Less of an announcement and more of of guidelines warning, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we heard the province of Manitoba and the head public health officials say that there are no more gatherings of 50 or more people in Manitoba. And that's why you have, you know, over 60%. I think it's closer to 70% now, guys. Restaurants have closed down, right? Like the entire city of Winnipeg has basically shut down. And that's no different than most other, you know, big North American cities, right, Drew? So, yeah, I don't think that we're going to see hockey anytime before May. That's for sure. And, you know, last week it had only been a couple of days, right, since the NHL shut down. But now that it's been 10 days or 9 days, whatever it is right now, you have to think that we aren't going to see a return of hockey at any level until May, whether that's mid-May, late May, whatever.
And that's the best case scenario, I would think.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, the regular season, you know, if you're going to play the regular season in whatever form starting in mid-May, then obviously the Stanley Cup's not going to be awarded until late July, early August. Now, you know, I think we're going to get into the different scenarios here, and there's definitely no shortage of scenarios. But when you're talking about, you know, the play-in situation, you know, 24 games, Travis Yost
of 24 teams.
24 teams, yeah. Pardon me. You know, and then having play-in games, you know, you'd have probably the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames having a best of three to determine who gets into that, you know, Sweet 16, right? Because you would have eight teams that would get a bye, right, under that that proposal, right? Yep. So I would rather see that. Like, I think a lot of hockey fans have to get it out of their head, Drew, that there might not be an end to the regular season. And I realize that, you know, there are going to be, you know, some stats that are affected. Like when you're talking about, you know, goal scoring and things like that, yeah, like guys like David Pastrnak and Alex Ovechkin, they probably would have been pretty close to not just 50 goals, because that's where they're at now. They would have been close to 60 goals. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if those guys got around, you know, 55 to 57 goals with, you know, 10 games left or whatever. So I think at this point, we have to start thinking beyond just the regular season. Now it's probably just, you know, are we going to see the playoffs? Are we going to see the Stanley Cup awarded? And by the way, that's not guaranteed at all.
That's where my brain is going, Ezzy. Sorry to interrupt you there, but that's where my brain is going.
No, I was done.
Okay, good. From my perspective, I mean, I know it's too soon to pull the plug, but you're sitting here on March 21st, and we're talking about mid-May as an optimistic timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost just thinking, pull it.
Well, I mean, you got it. You can't pull it yet. You have to see where this is going. I don't agree with that at all. Do I think that hockey should be played in August and then you're going to impact the 2020-21 season? No, absolutely not. I think that you need to do something, whatever that is, whatever they've decided. And of course, this is all very contingent on how this proceeds,
mm-hmm, how it plays out.
But I mean, personally, and I posted this, and you know, I got some pushback. Some people said that they would watch hockey. Now, of course, they said they would watch hockey. Most people would watch hockey if they're out at the lake. I don't know if they're going to drive in from the lake to watch hockey in July and August. But regardless, people watch hockey. Will people go to an arena and sit in an arena when it's gorgeous out? What's the ice going to be like in July and August? Not necessarily just in Winnipeg, but in Dallas, where it's like 115 degrees. I just wonder what the kind of impact that's going to have, you know, playing this idea of playing hockey in July and August. And again, it's how desperate are you to do this without impacting next season? And you're going to make, because you're, regardless of what you do, you're going to make next season shorter. And you're going to, and again, we've seen what happens when the NHL condenses the schedule. You have, sure, you're more injuries. It's just, it's not as good. The hockey isn't as good when the guys don't have that opportunity to refresh. So me personally, I just look at it and I think to myself, if you can do this in such a way to cut it, I mean, we talked about it last week. You cut down the playoffs. You don't have best of sevens in the first two rounds, maybe not even the first three rounds. You go to maybe a best of three or best of five, whatever it is, because you still maintain the integrity. It's not a one and done. You still have to win, you know, either two out of three or three out of five, and then you get to the next round or play in games, whatever it is. But even then, I honestly kind of like the Major League Baseball way of one game and you're in. Forget about this, because I don't think you have the time, the luxury to say, hey, Calgary and Winnipeg, you guys are going to play a three-game series over 5 days. That's like, it's almost a week that you're eliminating, and then you got to give the Jets at least a couple of days before they're ready to play their next series. So you're sucking out a week. A game is one night, and then the Jets can play again in 2 days. So to me, if you're going to do a play-in and give everybody an opportunity, the truth is, if you're a team that's on the cusp, well, then you shouldn't get the luxury of getting a best-of-three series. You're on the cusp for a reason. So you get one game and you're in, kind of like MLB does.
And Dave, I think we all agree that awarding the Stanley Cup in August is not ideal. Could it happen? obviously, because I don't think anybody expected this to happen, right? Like, not just the pandemic, not just COVID-19, but I don't think anybody expected to see the season canceled, something like this happening, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal. Most hockey fans would agree. Would hockey fans like to see the Stanley Cup awarded? Would players and general managers like to see the Stanley Cup awarded? Obviously, if it's between having a Stanley Cup or not having a Stanley Cup, players, fans, GMs, they're right. going to pick having a Stanley Cup awarded. But in August, when everybody's at the lake, when kids are on their summer break, like, it's just not ideal. And I think we have to mention, guys, you know, now that we've had the first positive test, an Ottawa Senators player that is anonymous, that the first player has now tested positive for COVID-19. I think that does factor in here, because I think we'd all agree that most likely this isn't going to be the only player. So when you have players now that have tested positive for COVID-19, and what I mean by that, guys, is obviously, you know, players can get healthy by the time the season resumes, but there are a lot of factors here. It's just not one or two things. Mm. It's not just the Center for Disease Control. This is a international, national health issue. So I think, yes, Drew, I agree. I don't think we're going to see hockey, most likely, before mid-May.
Can you restart the season in mid-May and have it be legitimate? I mean, that's my point of time. I mean, obviously the pause was necessary, and nobody's disputing that point. But to me, if you're bringing these guys back in mid-May, and that's optimistic, so more likely...
Well, you can bring them back in mid-May.
I mean, let's say you start again in June.
June 1st.
I mean...
Regardless, sorry to interrupt you, Drew, but...
That's 2 months after the playoffs were going to start.
Regardless if you come back in mid-May or early June, you're going to have a training camp. You're going to have whatever you want to call it, you're going to have a week to 2 weeks for these players to skate, right?
Right.
Because right now, these guys aren't skating. You can't just email the players and say, we're starting the season back May 15th. On May 5th.
That's
like,
my point. I mean, I don't think that there's a reason to even bring them back at that point in time. It's not a real season in my books. I know that they want to reward the Stanley Cup, and I get and frankly, I think it's more money-driven than it is anything to do with the
integrity of the game,
no matter how much they have that argument. I think they just don't want to lose out on the huge revenue generator that is the playoffs.
Well, especially if you're an owner.
Yeah. Well, only if you're an owner.
Players don't make any money.
I agree with you,
but can you blame these guys? Like, they're already losing money.
Of course, but I mean, I think take the lead. Who's, you know, let's say it restarts on June 1st.
Yeah.
In society, how is society ready to shell out the dollars necessary to go to playoff games come June 1st, given everything that's happening right now, where small businesses are shuttered, unemployment issues are skyrocketing.
Yeah, instead of the normal 27,000, I think they had
500,000. Exactly.
That's a good point.
Aren't they a little bit arrogant to think,
especially considering the cost of playoff
hockey? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're going to charge people hundreds of dollars to come to a playoff game, or try and charge hundreds of dollars to come to the playoff game in the midst of this worldwide economic disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit arrogant to even think that anybody cares that much about you, aside from the theoretical idea of hockey as an entertainment, not the actual shelling out the dollars to attend it.
Yeah, I mean, but there's two things here. One is, you know, I mean, look, in sports is a way of escape.
It's a distraction.
And so the reality is, right now, especially for a lot of people, like it, you know, when you have this combining of what is the reality of the outside world and sports, it's quite altering. So I think that you give people a little bit of hope by saying that we're still considering, that we're still and allowing people that distraction of thinking that, hey, you know, I'm not suggesting that they're doing this for altruistic reasons. I'm simply saying this is the reason why it's not such a bad thing, that people are able to distract themselves with the thoughts of talking about an NHL return and that sort of thing.
And charge $20 a ticket to get into the games.
Whatever. But, you know, look, I don't disagree with you. I think that the economic reality, and we're seeing it now, and not that this show is of that nature, but I think, you know, we're seeing the communities band together. But there's no question, to your point, that businesses are completely shuttering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you drive, it feels, I was saying to Ezzy in the car, this feels like Christmas. It feels like everything is shut down. The only thing they're not doing is playing Die Hard a lot. But other than that, this feels like everything is shut down, like it is during the Christmas season, for that 2 or 3 day period, you know, or I guess 2 day period,
yeah,
when everything just kind of closes and you're sitting there going, okay, you know, like, what is there to do? But the problem is, this isn't going to be a 2 or 3 day thing. This is potentially a few months. And so I just, to your point, Drew, there's not going to be a lot of money when this all resumes, if this all resumes, and if all is well, and to think that people are going to take their disposable income and use it towards this. And it's not, again, it's not just, hey, you got to pay $50 to go to an NHL game. You got to pay 100, 100 and a quarter, 150, 200, 400. It's a lot of money.
And even though the NHL might want to award a Stanley Cup, they might not have a choice, guys, because yesterday Health Canada announced that we're over 1,000 cases of COVID-19. Over 1,000 confirmed cases. I believe, I know BC's number one. They have over 300. Mm-hmm. Ontario is number two.
Yeah. The good news in Manitoba, it's been stable for the last two days.
Yeah. I think we're around 17 or 18
cases,
right?
I believe.
But if you're talking about over 1,000 cases, all of the health experts are saying there's going to be many more in Canada, in the U.S.
Well, the U.S. is on a curve that's exceeding Italy right now.
Yeah, it's very scary, right? So this is in its infancy. This is not like, we're not halfway through this right now, right? Like, if you want to look at this, this is more like a 2 month or 3 month curve here. It's not a 2 or 3 week curve.
That's why I'm saying let the players go home. Tell them, look, guys, we're close to being done for this year.
But
we'll come back in October or September with training camp and get healthy and everything else.
Well, the only thing I would say, the only thing I would say is that you have to continue to listen to health experts.
Yes.
And so the health experts, Drew, but what I'm getting at is the health experts, specifically the ones from the CDC, have advised no gatherings over 50 for at least 2 months. If they amend that and say, hey, now it's 3 months or now it's four, I mean, then at that point, you have to. But right now, as of right now, the way they've said it, it gives the NHL an opportunity to say, you know, mid-May, we come back for a week of training camp, maybe start, like as you said, maybe that third, fourth week of May, and then you condense everything, maybe try and finish it all by July. I'm just saying right now, based on those parameters, it's possible. If this gets changed, then you adjust accordingly.
As always, like we did last week, we want to hear from you. We want to hear some good news stories. We want to share some good news stories here on the show as we're in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. Tweet us, text us, 1290, email drew@illegalcurve.com with a story about an athlete or a team that has had a great accomplishment and a positive impact in the community. It doesn't have to be hockey related. Hockey, ringette, speed skating, soccer, gymnastics, the sport doesn't matter. It's the accomplishment and the impact that counts. We want to share these stories on air with you today. So let us know. Tweet us @illegalcurve. Text us 1290. Share some good news. We'll bring it out to the community. We'll get some positive vibes going as we're in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. When we come back, we're going to talk about the proposal that's being bandied about by NHL players. It involves going playing hockey all the way until September and October and then starting the next season in November. It's a doozy. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
And Conn Smythe caliber players have been kicking around some ideas in some group chats. They're following along with the rest of the health experts, knowing that this may take until July or August for the coronavirus to really have enough people recover and build up immunity. So they're saying, in these uncertain times, how could we find a way to potentially create some certainty here for the players? And one way to do that, the idea that they've proposed, is to open training camps at some point in July.
TSN senior hockey writer Frank Saravelli giving some information about an idea that's being bandied about among NHL players. So they would open training camp at some point in July. They would then play warm-up games, regular season games, enough to get everybody onto the same playing field in terms of the number of games played and how to qualify for the playoffs. The playoffs would begin in early August. They would somehow have the Stanley Cup awarded by late September. Take a 3 or 4 week period off at that point in time where you would do the draft and free agency during the month of October. And then start the 2020-2021 regular season, a full 82-game regular season, I might add, at some point in November. I mean, this is a crazy idea, right?
Well, there's only... Well, I mean... It's crazy, but under these circumstances, it's maybe not as crazy. But I agree with you, Drew, that the likelihood of this happening is probably pretty low. Because when you talk about it, like we talked about it, a little bit last segment and last weekend when everyone started talking about, you know, different formats and, you know, could the Stanley Cup be awarded in July? Could it be awarded in, you know, August? And now we're talking about September. Like, The season is condensed as it is, right? With the All-Star break, the player break. And then when you talk about the extended season, the season starting again and then pushing the 2020-2021 season, I don't think you want that either, because then you're kind of in a similar situation where next season is pushed and the playoffs are later, right? And they've said that, you know, you can work with the schedule and then maybe the Stanley Cup still gets awarded in mid-June, but I don't see how you could start the 2021 season in November and still award the Stanley Cup in June.
I mean, I think you get rid of the bye weeks, you get rid of the All-Star break.
Yeah, but they're never going to do that, Drew.
No, they would have to this in that instance.
In that instance, I think they would have to do it, but what's the point? Just
exactly.
You can't. My theory on this is you can't do anything to salvage this season that's going to impact next
season.
Which
is what the NHL has basically said. NHL said that they do not want to impact the 2020-21 season. That's very difficult to say.
It is. The 20. Just say the 2021 season.
Yeah, I know. It's very difficult, though.
I mean, you can't come back. Like, I mean, I don't know why the players are so desperate.
You don't know why.
I do know why. Because of escrow and because of money and everything else. Because right now, the hit that they're going to take on escrow is massive.
But I have to tell you, I actually think the point you made, I hate to say it, is probably the most valid point of all of this scenario.
You're talking to me or talking to Ezzy?
I'm looking at you, actually. Okay. But I'd like to be able to say that's Ezzy's point. But I think from a financial perspective, I think that the economy, and again, I think, we don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole in terms of the economic talk, but you know, with the way the economy could be, and hopefully everybody pulls together, we're seeing a lot of it right now with what the banks are doing and what various folks are doing right now to maintain their employees. But so you hope that we can come out of this stronger if the right moves are made. But I still think, you know, that disposable income that people use to buy, you know, entertainment type events like hockey, maybe a little bit harder to come by. So I wonder, especially considering the increase in price of playoff tickets, you know, I don't know that that would be. I mean, the one thing is it would give it a little more time than the current scenario, right? Again, provided this is all done by May or June, right? So let's say this is done by June. Okay, fine. If you start in July, you know, people might not have that money to go to hockey games right away.
Right.
But I'm saying in the other scenario, the player scenario, which I don't like, because to Ezzy's point, it impacts next year, and a condensed season is just going to lead to all sorts of injuries. I mean, we've seen it before what happens with these condensed seasons. So I just think, like, if you do that, it may allow the economy to bounce. You know, you've had 3-4 months potentially to allow people to kind of build up, but I still don't like it.
But more importantly, it goes back to something we already discussed. Do you want to start the playoffs, the 2019-20 playoffs, in July?
No, you can't.
For a variety of reasons, right? Like, how many people, like pick any city, but like, even if you're talking about Winnipeg or Toronto or Vancouver, like hotbed hockey markets, mm-hmm. Canadian, big city mm-hmm. Canadian markets, Calgary, Edmonton, like, it's going to be tough to sell out buildings, I think, if you start the playoffs in July.
100% agree.
Society won't be able to flip the switch, which was what the point I was making. Mm-hmm. Society won't be able to just flip a switch if this thing sort of passes and when we're able to resume normal day-to-day activities,
right.
People won't all of a sudden be able to shell out hundreds of dollars for hockey
and
games.
The economic question or the economic issue, the component to this is real. I agree with you. Like, there is a huge economic component to this where, forget the markets tanking. Like you said last segment, Drew, people are losing their jobs. Part-time workers, people in the restaurant industry, and a lot of other industries are losing their jobs. Yes, sure, they might get, you know, employment insurance and stuff like that. But this is impacting not hundreds of people. It's impacting tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Hold on one second. Okay. But when you talk about, you know, whether or not hockey can return, and then you say, well, you know, are people going to be able to afford it and all that? To me, it just comes down to, like, you know, I would like to see the Stanley Cup awarded just as much as anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But you can't realistically start the season back in July. If we're talking about mid-May, late May, even early June. But if you're talking about something like early July or mid-July, you're going to start like a 24-team play-in showdown. Like, yeah, sure, you would have 8 teams that would get the bye. I get mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But like, just the idea of starting the Stanley Cup playoffs in July,
it's crazy.
To me, is ludicrous.
Well, you know, there's a reason why the Jets players, and kudos to them for this, banded together and donated that $100,000 to Winnipeg Harvest.
Yeah.
And they made that announcement yesterday. It's not because you know, they're certainly generous in doing so, and that's great on them. But it's not because people, they just decided we want to do this for a charity. It's because they realize that people are concerned about where their next meal is coming from. Mm-hmm. Because people are concerned about their employment. They're concerned about their ability to have money coming in the face of this. So the Jets players knew that this is something that they needed to do. And at no point in time did they, I think, cross their mind that, you know, what we really need to do for people is donate tickets to a playoff game. Because people aren't thinking that. People don't care about hockey right now, as much as it's ironic I say that as I'm talking on a hockey show. Yeah. But people are worried about their day-to-day survival, not, you know, when the Stanley Cup's going to get awarded in June, July, or August.
People are talking about, when am I going to be able to buy toilet paper at Superstore? When am I going to be able to go to my favorite restaurant?
I was one of those people.
Yeah, exactly.
When are you going to be able to see your loved ones again? My parents are self-isolating. They just returned from a trip. You don't think my kids want to see their grandparents?
No, I went to see my grandfather, my Zeta, yesterday. And, like, literally, you can see, like, he wouldn't... Like, I had to drop off food. That was the reason why I was going to see him. And I was dropping off food at his place, and he didn't want to come within a certain distance, right? So, like, this is not a normal scenario, not a normal situation. And I think we have to adjust our way of thinking. And again, I think it's good to have something positive, folks, to think about these scenarios, think about different possibilities. But again, we just have to always just factor in everything that's happening right now in the world.
Add to the list of cancellations, you knew it was coming. It's now officially been announced by the International Ice Hockey Federation. The World Hockey Championships, inevitably, they were canceled earlier this morning, about 20 minutes ago, the official announcement that the World Hockey Championships, which I believe were set to be played in Switzerland this year, have been canceled. They usually are in May. They're not going to happen this year, so add it to the list of cancellations. When we come back, Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is going to join us. We'll talk about the Jets. We'll talk about COVID. We'll talk about whatever's really on our mind. Mike had a great article in the Free Press today talking about the performance at the pro ranks of hockey players throughout Winnipeg or Manitoba-based hockey players throughout North America. We'll talk to Mike about that. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. We're trying to get a hold of our buddy Mike McIntyre, talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of hockey. Not a ton, believe it or not.
Actually, shockingly, there was quite a bit of Jets news this whole week. Well, a lot of articles, a lot of links. Shawnee Reynolds.
A lot of words.
Murat, yep. Kenny, Mike. Guys are writing. LegalCurve.com.
You're a company man.
I am.
Yeah, just trying to churn out that content still as we...
Again, like I said, it wasn't nothing. Guys were actually writing some interesting articles, so...
That's good.
Worth reading. Gives some folks a distraction on this... during these times, so I think it's a good thing.
I was thinking about this, off air. You know, is this going to be like a seismic shift in sort of society? Are we going to think of the world sort of as a before Corona and after Corona?
That's a little deep, Drew, for a Saturday morning.
Well, I know, but I've been thinking about it. Like, is it going to change fundamentally? How we think of the world? What do you think?
I mean, I would suggest that we really don't know based on time. I mean, and again, I'm not. I mean, I wasn't around as you were during the Spanish flu to be able to know what kind of alteration that had to the environment to be able to say, like, okay, you know, this is what it's going to do. So I don't know. I mean, we're already seeing people be more responsible, people be a little bit, you know, we're seeing our fellow citizens, you know, across the board, whether things were mandated to be in a certain way. You know, there's a lot of responsibility I'm seeing in people to ensure that this is trying to, you know, we're talking about that flattening of the curve. So I think that's a real good thing. So I like, maybe we will, Drew, and let's hope that this does something better for society. But I think it's a little too early to say that.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend from the Winnipeg Free Press, Mike McIntyre. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Hey guys, I'm great. I'm missing the candy line at Bell MTS Place. just not the same when I set it up in my kitchen.
unless Dave comes in, Dave arrives early to swoop in ahead of you to get the candy. But I don't think he's allowed in your kitchen. But I'm not sure. That's between you and Dave to figure out.
Yeah, he's been banned. That goes back a few years.
Mike, I'm just happy that self-isolation hasn't turned into the Legal Curve isolation.
Well, it hasn't yet, but I mean, further crackdowns could be coming, right, guys? So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Exactly, Mike. Obviously, you know, it's been 10 days, and it's shocking to say that it's only been 10 days. You know, I guess, you know, before we really talk about it in hockey, you know, how has it changed your activities?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you say, it's only been 10 days. My goodness. I posted, I think it was on Thursday, how it was just 1 week since I left Rogers Place in Edmonton. And, my goodness, how the world has changed since, the sporting world, the real world. I had a sense when that game started in Edmonton, guys, that was probably the last game for a while that we were going to be playing in front of fans. I thought, and of course the NBA hadn't, you know, had its world turned upside down just yet. That was going to happen in the hours ahead, but I had a feeling that, you know, big changes were coming. I thought we might still play hockey for a little bit more, but of course that all went out the window. And now with the indefinite pause, I mean, it's a unique situation. It's unprecedented, really. And so to be a sports writer with not a lot of sports to be writing about, focusing more on, you know, maybe some projects or features that you had in the back of your head that you hadn't had time to do during the season, you know, get some of those things done. But for sure, I mean, sports has never felt in a way more trivial than it does right now. But I'll say this, and I'm sure you guys will hear the same thing. There's certainly a desire from people out there, and I get it, to have a bit of a distraction in their lives. It's pretty, you know, it's anxious times for sure. And so I'm still writing. You guys are still on the air, and that's great because, you know what, there's people out there who don't just want to be 24/7 consumed by what's going on. You want a little distraction at times, and I think sports, as it does, you know, when life like normal, sports gives us something to sink our teeth into, something to distract us. Maybe in a way now more than ever, we need that because of what's going on out there.
And Mike, we want to get into your article in today's Winnipeg Free Press. You took a look at 64 Manitoban hockey players in the NHL, AHL, and ECHL, and it's just awesome. You know, someone like me who works at Hockey Manitoba, I absolutely love that. We'll get into that in a second, but and we also want to get into the Jets, but you know, we were talking about, you know, some of the proposals that have been bandied about, and I'm sure that you've seen them all, Mike. You know, maybe having, you know, 24 teams, you know, a play-in tournament where you have some best of threes. Maybe the Jets play the Flames. You know, maybe we see the Stanley Cup awarded in July. Maybe we see the Stanley Cup awarded as late as September. Like, what are your thoughts on that? And when do you think the NHL has to return? Whether that's, you know, finishing off the regular season or just going straight into the playoffs, you know, and maybe having some play-in games. But, like, can you see the NHL restarting in early July, for example?
Yeah, that was, I think it was Frank Saravelli last week with that really, what seems fairly radical proposal where you would, you know, go into July, finish the regular season, August, September playoffs. October would be the month where all the off-season business takes place, right? Free agency, the draft, and then start the 2020-21 season in November and have a full season. I mean, to me, guys, all the scenarios, I think the thing that I keep coming back to is what we've heard repeatedly, which is there is a desire to have next season be a full season. So I think working backwards from that a little bit, you could start next season as late, I guess, as November. And, you know, maybe you crunch it down a little bit, a few less days off. Maybe you eliminate the All-Star game or the bye week or both. So I think you could start next season in November and still have a full season that ends when a normal hockey season would end next spring and summer. So I think now if you backtrack from there, it's just a question of what kind of time will that allow you when everybody gets the green light to kind of ramp operations back up. I don't feel that the NHL wants to play in empty arenas. I think the fans are a huge part of of the game. I mean, I guess if they had to, at least they're satisfying a TV contract in that way, right? And broadcasting rights by still putting on the games. But I think the desire would obviously be that to be back and to be playing in front of crowds. But who knows when that will be allowed to happen and if that will be allowed to happen anytime soon. So that's going to be the first hurdle to overcome. If it looks like that is not a possibility to get big crowds back together in the coming months, then is there a scenario where you'd play in empty rinks, and then how soon could you get that going? And so I think all of that's going to determine whether there's even time left to finish the regular season as it was scheduled, or if you have to jump right into a playoff race, and then what that will look like. Like, will there be 2 months to have playoffs with the normal best of sevens and all that? Or is this going to be a one-month scramble where you're almost going to make everything a best of three? Or I saw that one scenario, which was like a March Madness-style bracket, which I must admit looks kind of fun. So I think everything has to be on the table just because the timelines here are so unknown. But I would think the desire would be, in a perfect world, which we know we're not living in, would be to have enough time still to finish the regular season, have a normal playoff, even if that takes you well into the summer, have a bit of a break because you have to be mindful of what you're doing to these players in terms of taxing them, and now getting back into another season fairly quickly. But if they could do that and still have a normal regular season next year, then I think that would be the priority. But if they don't, then everything has to be on the table, right? Because we just don't know what we're dealing with.
You know, Mike, well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of talk right now in terms of hockey talk. NCAA signings are still happening, and you know, there's probably no better social isolation than you can do and be on a lake by yourself fishing in Lake of the Woods. That's where you caught up with Jets 2017 second rounder Dylan Sandberg. What was that conversation like, and what kind of sense are you getting in terms of what's going on between him and the Jets organization?
Oh, I get the sense that there's nothing for Jets fans to worry about, that his signing with the Jets is inevitable. And with the NCAA season being done, you know, I think right now all we're really seeing are free agents being signed by teams, college free agents. You're not really seeing much by way of drafted players sort of sign their first contracts because there's nothing to come back to right now, right? And there's reports out there that any contract that gets signed today would be effective next season, not immediately. So in that sense, what's the rush? Maybe wait and see how the hockey landscape looks in a few weeks from now. But I would expect, guys, that if the Jets resume play at some point in this current season, that Dylan Sandberg will probably sign a deal with them. And I'm not saying he gets in any games. In fact, I would be highly surprised if that happened this season, but at least bring him into the fold, acclimatize him a little bit with how things work. And so I don't expect any hurdles there. I'd be shocked if he decides to go back for his senior season. I mean, he admitted that a big part of why he went back this year was to try and win a third straight championship. And obviously that's not happening now because there is no championship being awarded. No doubt that's going to irk him a little bit. But I don't think that's enough to put off another year when he could be jumping into professional hockey to go chase another championship now 1 year older. So I don't think that option's really out there for him. And there's certainly no hard feelings between him and the Jets. I know people have wanted to read things into why hasn't he signed yet. There's nothing nefarious going on here. And I do expect that he will put his name to paper in the, if we get back to hockey, it'll happen shortly thereafter.
Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Mike, before the Sandberg answer, we talked about the playoffs and the possibility of the NHL season resuming. You know, doesn't the NHL, you know, have a risk of appearing arrogant if they decide to restart, you know, let's say 6 weeks or 8 weeks from now, given the economic uncertainty that now most many Canadians are now finding themselves in. Don't they have a risk of looking out of touch to the average person if they decide to just restart, almost like a flip of a switch?
Yeah, there is that risk for sure, and especially if they sort of charge the same prices and everything just stays as it was. I'd be shocked if that happens, guys. I mean, we're seeing what's going on in the world right now. You're seeing banks announce, amendments or alternatives to mortgages, and so they will be flexible on that. Of course, we've seen the federal government announce that even your income taxes aren't due when they were originally going to be due. Like, everybody's finding a way to make accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the NHL, and you're right, I mean, if it were to resume in a month from now, how can you still charge the full price? And if they do, you risk playing in half-empty arenas, right? And so if concessions and tickets and all that was just your normal price, operating as if the world and the economy was the same as when you left, well, that would be a real short-sighted decision. I think you'd have to almost examine a way to help your fans out a little bit. I'm not saying you're letting them in the building for free, but I'd like to think that there'd be, that they wouldn't be tone deaf to what was going on in the world.
Mike, we mentioned earlier you have an article in today's Winnipeg Free Press about 64 Manitoba-born and raised players in the three North American professional leagues. Obviously, we're talking about the NHL, the AHL, and ECHL, and there's some familiar names there, of course. Jonathan Toews, Alex Steen, we know all those names, Brendan Leipzig, but because you go into the AHL and ECHL, it's nice to see some of those lesser-known names like Colt Conrad and other guys. Tristan Langdon is another guy that I saw in there, but writing this article, was this just nice to kind of get your mind off of COVID-19 and get back to hockey and realize, in case you forgot, just how many great Manitoba born and raised players there are out there and at all three levels of pro hockey?
Yeah, that was the main reason behind the idea for sure. And you're right. I mean, we all know we tend to know the NHL guys because every time, every team pays at least one visit to Winnipeg during the year, right? And so we'll normally talk about whatever Winnipegger or Manitoban happens to be on that particular team. Chances are we'll catch up with them in the dressing room, after the morning skate or something. So those guys certainly still get the ink. But it's those AHL and ECHL guys who can fill a number of categories, right? Either they're young prospects that are just starting their pro career out, that we maybe heard about when they got drafted a couple of years ago and then never heard about them again. There's a number of guys in there that weren't drafted, that played in the MJHL, that played with the University of Manitoba Bisons, that were playing college hockey in the States, that certainly haven't got really any ink or airtime because, they haven't taken that step. They haven't been drafted. And so they're guys that, their friends and family for sure would know about what they're up to, but I'm not sure the general public would. So more than anything, it was kind of cool to be telling those stories. And then there's guys that you see, like, my goodness, there's a few guys, they've been playing in the ECHL for like a decade, and guys that you either forgot about or maybe you didn't really know about to begin with, right? And it's kind of cool to see them still kind of chasing their hockey dream. Even a guy like Cody McLeod, right, who maybe a lot of people thought, oh, he's not in the NHL now, he probably retired. Well, Dave would know this, being an AHL aficionado, of course, but he's trying to kind of keep his career going in the AHL with the Iowa Wild. So there's all kinds of neat stories. There's guys, of course, we've seen Chris Driedger, Zach Whitecloud, guys that if you followed the AHL closely, you knew about, but now they've made a splash on the NHL scene. So you wonder, well, who else in this mix could be the next Driedger or Whitecloud to do just that? It was pretty cool. The crummy thing for me, though, like, there's no hard and fast database for all this. It took a lot of and I knew I was going to miss somebody. I absolutely knew it. It was eating me away. And sure enough, this morning I realized, how in the world could I have forgotten Jace Howerluck,
wow,
who colleague Jason Bell just wrote about him a few weeks ago, now with Ottawa. Of course, part of the issue with Jace is he wasn't born in Manitoba. I believe he was born in Yorkton. May have that wrong. But he was raised in Manitoba. And I tried to catch those guys. Like Duncan Keith, of course, wasn't born here either. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to encompass either guys that were born in Manitoba or guys that were born outside Manitoba but primarily were raised in here. So my apologies to the Hauerlich family. I suspect there might be one or two others out there that I've missed. The cool thing about this, I suppose, is I've kind of got a template now going forward and can add to it as I go along. So my hope would be not doing this every week, of course, and there's not even any more hockey being played right now, but something to revisit down the road and sort of do on a fairly regular basis just to keep tabs on these guys.
Well, Mike, you might have missed Jace Hauerlich, but you got Shaq Morasty of Minnedosa, yeah. Manitoba, who might have the best name in all of hockey. So, you know, we're going to give you a pass on that one.
Shaq is dunking on all of us in the minor league.
Oh, very good. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mike, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for doing this. Stay safe. We'll do it again soon.
We'll see you at the Candy Line hopefully sometime soon. Take
hopefully
care,
sooner rather than later. There goes Mike McIntyre. When we come back, we talk about the impact of a flat salary cap on the Winnipeg Jets for next season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
I think we can all get through this and we can all come together. You know, there's nothing more than we all want just to get back to our daily lives. I know everybody's being affected by this, and you know, there's nothing more that we want than to play in front of our great fans that we have in Winnipeg. So until then, everybody just be safe, everybody be healthy, and hopefully see everybody soon.
Winnipeg Jets defenseman Dylan DeMello giving a shout out to the Jets fans, telling them to be safe in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. Nice words from Dylan. Obviously, he's fit in very well with the Jets on the blue line since
the season restarts after free agency. Is he still a member of the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, no, I think he becomes an unrestricted free agent at that point in time. You know, everyone was anticipating that there'd be a rise in the salary cap because that's what the NHL came out and said. Mm-hmm. Well, that was pre-pandemic. And obviously, I think most people are expecting that the salary cap is at best going to stay flat for this coming year. Mm-hmm. How does that impact the Jets going forward? It seems like they're in a pretty good spot where, given that they have some money coming off the books, Kulikov, presumably Byfuglien as well, and they don't have significant free agent signings that they have to make this year because they got Connor and Laine done last year. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're in a good spot to weather a flat salary cap for next season.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, right, you're talking about RFAs, the class of 2015, basically, with the exception, obviously, of Kyle Connor.
Yeah.
Those are the RFAs you're going to have to get done. The UFAs, again, there's nobody who's you're looking at and you're thinking, you need to sign them for big money, really. I mean, most of these guys can be had for fairly minimal if you want to bring them back. So, I think the Jets are going to have some room to get some things done if they want, because obviously you're going to want to try and bring back Dylan DeMello. It seems to be a fairly standard consensus across the city that you know, he is the guy the Jets should be targeting to bring back on a multi-year contract. Maybe you want to bring Dmitry Kulikov on a very, very reduced salary. But, I mean, to me, you're looking at this Jets salary situation, and like you said, Drew, with Byfuglien off the books, I don't think you're going to be in any sort of major predicament, because you don't have to pay anybody big this year. I mean, obviously, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're going to want to get Patrick Laine signed to his big deal mm-hmm. the following season.
Well, you can start negotiating with him on July 1st.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that you're still going to have to factor that in regardless. So, I mean, that's really your only big ticket item. Other than that, I mean, again, most of these guys could be had for a fairly minimal amount.
Right. I agree, Dave. And I think you only have, 15 players under contract for next year, if I'm not mistaken? I think it's 15 or 16 players. And I agree with you. I mean, Dylan DeMello, there's no reason to believe that the Jets won't sign him. And, you know, he's a perfect candidate for me for like a 3 or 4 year deal. And mm-hmm. obviously he's going to get a raise. But, you know, the defense is the most interesting to me. I personally don't know if you bring back Dmitry Kulikov. Like, maybe if you're paying him $1 million a year, I don't know if he would take that or right. maybe he wants to, you know, go to Russia or play for a different team. But when you're talking about, you know, guys like Anthony Boteto, Nathan Beaulieu, I mean, I don't know if you bring those guys back, because as we know, the big, you know, what ifs are, Dylan Samberg and Ville Heinola, right? Like, those are two guys that have a really good chance.
Sammy Niku, too.
And Sammy Niku. And when you're talking about Heinola and Samberg, Dave, those are left-shot defensemen, right? So that's why I think there's a good chance that Kulikov, Beteto, Bolia, I mean, they might not be back next year. And when you're talking about UFA forwards, I mean, I think the majority of these players are guys that aren't going to be back. I mean, you're talking about Gabriel Bork. You're talking about, you know, I think Mark Letestu is a guy that might be a good candidate for a two-way contract, because I think he's a guy that, you know, could obviously play for the Moose. Yep. He said earlier this week he still wants to play hockey, right? The big interesting one for me is Cody Eakin, right? Because Cody Eakin's fit really nicely on that second line. And obviously, you know, the Jets envision him more as a third line guy or a fourth line guy, bottom six guy, right? Yep. But, you know, Cody Eakin, I think his salary is around $3.5 million, if I'm not mistaken.
$3.8 million.
So I don't know, you know, how much does he get next year? How many years do you give him? Like, I don't think you would give Cody Eakin a 5-year deal, but maybe you sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, right? If the cap hit is right. So Cody Eakin is a really interesting one to me, but I think, you know, the most fascinating thing with the Jets is what are they going to do with the cap room that they get, you know, from Dustin, not having Dustin Byfuglien on the books.
Well, I think it is going to be a fascinating way to keep an eye on the off season, whenever that begins, be it in July or be it in October, as they're trying to figure out how the rest of the season is going to look. But a flat cap, the Jets will, it does seem like they'll be in a better position than a lot of other NHL teams would be. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a new signee of the Boston Bruins. His name is Nick Wolf. He played at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He was a college free agent. He just signed with the Bruins. We'll talk to Nick Wolf up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us in studio via text message. Send your text to 129090, standard messaging rate supply, and our website with the latest news on the NHL, the Winnipeg Jets, and the Manitoba Moose is illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program Boston Bruins prospect Nick Wolf. Nick, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Our pleasure, Nick. Thank you. How does that sound, first of all, saying, for, you know, hearing yourself described as Boston Bruins prospect Nick Wolf after you signed with them earlier this week?
Yeah, it sounds great. You know, it's a big honor to be part of the Bruins and be part of the organization. So, but yeah, it sounds great. I can't wait to get underway now.
So, Nick, you played your college hockey at the University of Minnesota Duluth, where, of course, people here in Winnipeg know of your colleague Dylan Samberg, and I'm sure we'll talk about Dylan a little bit later on. But you guys were going for an unprecedented, or it hasn't been done in a very long time, three-peat. And then the college season, the rug sort of gets pulled out from underneath you, as it did for everybody with this COVID-19. So sort of walk us through your emotions, walk us through finding out what it was like for you to find out that you weren't going to have that opportunity to get that three-peat of the championship in NCAA.
Yeah, it's strange. Obviously, nobody really knows what's going to happen here, and that everything just ended so abruptly. And the worst part was that we actually had a great chance of doing it. You know, we have a great team right now is where we were, and we're, you know, getting to our peak performance at the best time of year. So that's the worst thing about it, I think, is we actually had a great chance, a great opportunity of doing making history of three-peating, and that hasn't been done in what, 50 some years. So yeah, it's tough the way it ended, but you know what can you do? No, everybody is in the same situation here, so yeah, it's just tough.
Nick, how are you managing during these really tough times, right? Because as we talked about, I mean, you guys were expecting to go on your, you know, three-peat championship run, and, you know, now basically, you know, the entire world is on lockdown. How are you staying fresh? Imagine that you're talking to some of your other teammates like Dylan and making sure that, you know, everybody's healthy and safe, but like, just how are you, you know, coping with this and, you know, making sure that you're continuing to exercise, even though, you know, most gyms at this point are closed?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You obviously decide to kind of hunker down and do the best you can working out with what you have. But, yeah, the last couple of days and hours, I've just been honestly away from my phone, because I'm one of those people who like to get out and not be by electronics. And so I've been kind of staying away from my phone and relaxing and just, you know, doing what you can day by day, because, like I said, we don't really know what's going on with this whole COVID-19 thing. So, so I'm just kind of hanging out, relaxing, and having some downtime.
You know, Nick, what makes the Bruins such a good fit for you? I know I was reading that you attended the development camp as a free agent invitee, and then you went back, and that was in 2018, and then you went back last summer. So why do the Bruins make sense for Nick Wolf?
Well, a couple reasons. I mean, it's obviously such a historic organization, and they have a lot of history there. So it's that was a great fit for me. And, you know, they're really family-oriented. And the last couple of years, went to their trial camps or dev camps in the summer. They kind of reminded me of how it was in Duluth, how everything's family-oriented, and just the relationships are really close, and just the guys are great people and great locker room guys. So that's one big decision factor for me, that I just got the relationships were so great every time I went out there, and that's why I went back year after year for those last two. Well, and it was just a perfect fit for me.
Well, we know you're a Bruins fan now, but did you grow up a Bruins fan?
No, I actually did. I mean, I wasn't the biggest of all, let's say, Wild fan, because I'm from the cities, but, you know, I didn't really look at one team specifically. I just watched NHL as a whole, and that all awesome was. The Wilds were definitely up there, but, you know, I could say I was a Bruins fan at heart.
Good answer. Very, very political. Well done. Nick Wolf is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nick played his college hockey at the University of Minnesota Duluth and was signed by the Boston Bruins to a contract earlier this week. Now, Nick, you obviously went undrafted. When did it become apparent to you, though, that you might be able to, you know, turn your college hockey experience into a professional contract?
Well, obviously stepping foot in Duluth, obviously with the coaching staff there, they absolutely do the best job of, you know, making you a well-rounded person, a well-rounded player, and they develop every guy that goes into that organization. So, you know, the first day and first year of college hockey really kind of made me realize that I can do this. You know, I can you know, maybe make it to the NHL one day, and, you know, 4 years later, look where it is.
Now, Nick, you obviously have a former teammate who's already with the Boston Bruins organization. That's, of course, Carson Kuhlman. We've been lucky enough to have Carson on the show before. He scored that big goal in the Stanley Cup final against the St. Louis Blues. I'm sure that you and your teammates were loving that. I mean, how much contact have you had with Carson? I imagine that you've talked to him since you were signed, but how big of a factor was that, having played a couple of years with Carson at University of Minnesota Duluth, and then, you know, now being able to be a teammate of his in the Bruins organization?
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we've exchanged text messages here and there, but he's just one of those guys that are, you know, a locker room guy, and he's a glue guy. He's such a great presence in the locker room, and as a captain for me my sophomore year and an assistant the year before. So he is a role model and a great person to have in my corner when, you know, when I head out there. So yeah, to have him there, it makes it a lot more comfortable for me, and makes little things a lot easier.
You know, Nick, I've been told that the Eagan Wildcats were a feared high school hockey team in Minnesota. Can you just give our listeners kind of an insight as to how big high school hockey is in Minnesota and what it meant for your development?
Huge. I mean, Minnesota high school hockey is absolutely huge. That's what people live for in the state of Minnesota for those months that it goes on. You can just look at it, right? The last couple of weeks, there's the state tournament, and every single game on Friday and Saturday, 18,500 people in that building. So that's just a huge testament to how big it has come. And and I loved it. I was in the state tournament my senior year, and so close my junior year, but got beat out. But yeah, it's what people live for in Minnesota, and it's you know, had great relationships and friendships along the way, because you stay around and play with your best friends for 3-4 years. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to stay, and I didn't want to go to juniors early, is because I don't want to leave my friends. And I thought one last year we could get a shot at winning the thing, but we fell a little too short and got third place. But yeah, great memories and great relationships that built in high school hockey.
Now, Nick, were you ever a candidate for the all-hair team?
No, I was not. My deep partner was, though. It's a dual exhaust pipe, of course.
Nick Wolf is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nick just got signed by the Boston Bruins. He played his college hockey at the University of Minnesota Duluth alongside Jets prospect Dylan Sandberg. And Nick, you know, Jets fans here in Winnipeg are absolutely champing at the bit to potentially see Sandberg play his professional hockey here in Winnipeg. You know, from your perspective, playing alongside and playing him on the same team as him, what is the best attribute that Dylan Sandberg brings to the game?
Just as a well-rounded of a player he is. I mean, he can play offense, defense, and he's hard in every area of the ice. And he's just an all-around great guy, too. Obviously, he can be in the power play, and he can eat pucks on a penalty kill. He can do it all. So, I think he'll have a lot of success in the next league, and I hope all the best to him in the future.
Nick, we wanted to ask you about your head coach with Minnesota Duluth, Scott Sandlin. He might not be as well known, here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada, but he's obviously a legend. He's been the head coach, I think, for 19 years with Minnesota Duluth. And you know what they say, you're only as good as your leader, right? And obviously, you know, that was two consecutive national championships. So what was your relationship like with your head coach, and what's the impact been on your career?
A lot. I mean, a relationship's great. He is definitely the leader of the whole organization, whole program. He's the guy behind it, and we all look up to him. And we have so much respect for Sandy and what he's done with the program throughout his 19, 20 years there. And I think he is one of the sole reasons for what brought me to the position I'm in right now. And I owe everything to him. He really picked me up as a person and as a hockey player, and just makes you a better person. And it's not all about hockey. He really gets in the personal side of things, and that's what it's all about. I think that he really taught me a lot of valuable lessons throughout my 4 years, and I owe it all to him.
You know, Nick, you're a finalist for the NCHC's Defensive Defenseman of the Year Award. What does that mean to you? And maybe just tell the listeners what kind of player you are overall.
Yeah, well, that's just a person who doesn't get a lot of points in the offense. So. No, I think, it's just hard to play against in the Z-zone. I'm shutting the forwards down and giving them not a lot of time and space. Just eating pucks and, packing it in. So I think that's the kind of player I am and want to be in the future. It's just a hard to play against in the D zone, and make the strong first pass out of the zone and join the rush up. So, but yeah, it's an honor to be a part of those couple guys that are in it, and that's the player I want to be in the future.
Last question for you, Nick. You talk about that kind of player. Is there anybody currently in the NHL that you sort of modeled your game after? Or you said that is the kind of professional I want to be.
Well, you look at Chara at Bruins right now. I mean, he's big, he's mean, he can play in any position, and he can eat minutes up on the penalty kill, and he's just kind of, he's a role model and player I look up to, and you can see the guys really respect him and what he says, and that's why obviously he's the captain there for the last however many years. So, he's just a guy I look up to and want to play after.
You can look up to him figuratively, and you can look up to him literally. Not many guys are taller than you at 6'5".
Yeah, Nick's 6'5", so I think he's good.
Yeah, but Char is he's still got a couple inches on you there.
Exactly, yeah.
And Nick Wolf just got signed by the Boston Bruins earlier in the week. He played his college hockey at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. A great interview, and all the best in your pro career moving forward.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Nick. Take care. That's Nick Wolf, Boston Bruins prospect, former University of Minnesota Duluth college hockey player as well. When we come back, we talk about some other formats being bandied about, potentially a two-game playoff play-in game to establish some playoff teams if we get to that point. Much more to come, including in hour number three, God help us all, the return of the Ezzies. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
2014 playoff. And I think what that's all about is that in the absence of being able to conclude the regular season, there needs to be some mechanism that takes all those teams that were on the bubble, that is just barely in or just barely out, and gives them an opportunity, a fair opportunity, to be part of the process that would allow you to compete for the Stanley Cup. So I think what we're looking at is some sort of play-in or play-out, depends on your point of view, I guess.
TSN Hockey Insider Bob McKenzie talking about the possibility that if there's playoffs, when there's playoffs, who knows, there might be a playoff game, a play-in game component to a playoff format whenever, if that was to happen, who knows. But to me, I think they're maybe overcomplicating things a little bit. To your point earlier in the show, Dave, you talked about how just make it a one game. Just do, if the wild card format in baseball is one game, why not just do the same for hockey? Why does it have to be best 2 out of 3 as a play-in game? Why does it have to be a two-game total goal format that I've seen suggested? Why not just do one game, winner take all? Game 7 for the right to continue on in the playoffs.
And then what you do is rather than making it even, you have the team that had a slightly better winning percentage be the home team. Sure. Give them home ice advantage. Or maybe you do some neutral site games. Play the game in Regina. Play it in Saskatoon. I don't care. But I'm just saying, play one. You don't have the luxury of time. Mm-hmm. That's where the arrogance comes in.
Right.
To your point. You don't have the luxury of time. You cannot stretch this for as long as you think you can stretch this. And to be honest with you, who wants to pay? I guess people, there would be an excitement from the markets to see those games. Especially because it's early, you're probably not going to be paying, you're probably paying some, modified pricing. But I just don't think you have that luxury of time. You play the one game, you're in, you drop the teams from 24 to 16 in one game.
Yeah, one day, do it all in one night, whatever you want to do.
Whatever it is, yeah. And everybody,
do a super Saturday of playoff showdowns.
Yeah, and whether you do every game at 7, or not exactly 7, obviously, but whatever that is in that market, or you stagger it throughout the day and have a hockey day in North America, playoff style. Think about how many eyeballs you're going to have. You could have literally
do it March Madness style. March Madness starts at 11 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. and it goes until 11:30 at night.
Sure.
Just do that.
But think about how exciting that would be throughout the day, watching teams make it in on a Saturday, and then on the Monday, or not the Monday because they never start the playoffs that early, that quickly. Start them on Tuesday. No, normally they started on a Wednesday after the season ends. So you started Monday or Tuesday just to kind of expedite things. And again, you don't think that you have the luxury to play a 7-game series. You play a best of three or best of five. I'm more inclined to say best of five, but again, depending on when this all restarts, you may not have a choice other than to do a best of three.
Dave, I appreciate that it's hypothetical right now, but the reality is you can only have one playoff format, right? You can either have a regular season or not have a regular season. You can either have the playoffs and award a Stanley Cup or not have the playoffs and award a Stanley Cup. So I realize that we're talking about this here, but we're only going to have it one way, right? So, we're talking about best of three, best of five, not having overtime, having overtime. Are we going to be talking about having the whole game 3-on-3? You know what I mean? So, to me, it's a little bit frustrating because you're talking about having hockey starting in mid-June, or maybe you're talking about having hockey start in early June, or maybe early July, or mid-July. Come on here. We need to know, is there going to be hockey or not? And then we can start talking about all these different types of formats.
Fair point there, Ezzy, and I just don't really fully understand how you can think that there's not an asterisk next to the Stanley Cup for this season, whenever it begins, if it begins. To me, there's definitely an asterisk next to it because it's not, if you're the Boston Bruins or you're the Tampa Bay Lightning and you've been built for a comprehensive 7-game series, round in and round out, If you were to lose, let's say you get upset in a best of three or a best of five, there's an asterisk next to that loss in my mind.
Is there though, Drew? Because no team has an advantage over another.
In a best of seven format, I think the team that has built the best for the long haul has an advantage.
But define long haul. Is long haul a best of seven series?
Yes.
Or is it winning the Stanley Cup? Why would that team have an advantage? The way you prepare is the same. It's not like one team had more time than another team to prepare.
No, I understand that. But when you stop a season halfway through and then you restart it.
Well, not halfway through, but yeah.
But you know when they when you start a season, you stop a season at the 80% or the 85% mark, and then you restart it. Even if the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Boston Bruins ends up winning the Stanley Cup, I do think that there is still an asterisk next to it because it's so uncertain.
I guess so. But at the end of the day, who cares? If you, to Ezzie's point, if you are the team that ends up hoisting the Stanley Cup and you win a best of seven series in the Stanley Cup finals and maybe a best of seven in the conference finals, that's kind of challenging enough. And look, if you get knocked out, you get knocked out. And the reality is this is going to level the playing field because this is like playing hockey in October, not necessarily we always say there's not necessarily that continuation. Now, the only difference between, the post normal Stanley Cup and a September, October team is that this team is going to be the same team that you had when the season ended as when it began, unlike with the usual turnover. The Jets obviously lost a lot of defensemen, so the team is a lot different. So you're going to have that, but we don't know if that, we always say momentum doesn't carry over, so we'll see what happens. And you're right, Drew, it could end up leading to some wild moments, but you know what? In the world we live in right now, who cares? If that's what you're really, I don't need to necessarily, look, it's going to be frustrating for the Bruins if they're the team that's not hoisting the Stanley Cup, because you're right, they put in a ton of work and they've done all the right things. But you would have to think that their coaching staff will have them ready to go. And if they're not, well, then it's just unfortunate for them. But I think at the end of the day, the whole season's going to have an asterisk because you're going to have teams that have played disproportionate number of games. Some teams played 69. Some teams played 71. So, there's always going to be an asterisk.
Forget about the asterisk, because I think the asterisk is overused, right? Because a lot of people would have that when you talk about the Houston Astros winning the World Series. Not me personally.
I would.
Well,
they cheated. They cheated. You cheated.
That's another
beyond,
debate.
They cheated beyond the there's acceptable levels of cheating, and they cheated beyond those acceptable levels.
Okay, so let's get past the asterisk. The point is, I think ideally you want to still have best of seven, four rounds to win the Stanley Cup. I agree with you. Like, I'm a purist, or maybe you have best of five. I agree with Dave. Who cares at this point? Mm-hmm. If you're able to salvage the season, I'm not talking about the regular season. Yeah. If you're able to salvage a Stanley Cup winner and you do best of five, but absolutely, if you do three rounds, or if you do one round that's best of three and then the next one is best of five, and then maybe, the conference final, you got to have best of sevens just for the integrity of the game. But as far as I'm concerned, at this point, I don't care about the regular season. Like, I realize that, and Frank Saravalli was talking about this with James Neal and Milan Lucic and how it would affect the bonuses and the draft pick compensation and all that. You know what? With all due respect to those guys, that doesn't affect the average person, the average hockey fan, right? So if we're able to have any semblance of a season, let's do it.
I want to just make mention of the format that Elliot Friedman reported on or suggested for the play-in games. He suggested that it's a best of two, which will be familiar to anybody who's ever played in the ASHL or played at the Highlander, how their playoff format went. Game one is a 60-minute game, no matter what. If it's tied, so be it. If one team's winning, so be it as well. So game one, whatever happens, happens. Game two, if you lost game one, you have to win game two in regulation. And then if you do win that one, it goes to sudden death overtime.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just another way of it's adding a second game to maybe give a little bit of freedom for a team that didn't play that well in game
and
one.
You know what, Drew? I have no problem with that. As long as it's just the play-in games, if you start doing that type of nonsense in the first round, then I'm not cool with that. But if you're doing it, I think you're talking about play-in
games. Just play-in games.
Yeah, play-in games, who cares? Because in a regular season, like you said, Dave, we wouldn't have play-in games. Right. But you can't start doing these different types of weird formats. I think at the very most, you can just do best of five in the first round if you have those time constraints, right? But again, guys, we're talking about all these hypotheticals. Right. Hockey might not come back this year.
Here's some comments coming in via Twitter. Our buddy the Soch says, if the Jets make it to a playoff round, there is no way I will be spending money this June or July to watch hockey, to which Paul responded and said, nobody will have the spare cash anyway.
Right.
So, I think that's probably the truth of the matter, is that if the NHL thinks that come mid-June or come mid-May, they can flip a switch and charge people their regular ticket prices for playoff hockey or for the end of the regular season, I think they're fooling themselves. Nobody's going to have the money. The world has changed. The economy has changed. People are worried about putting food on their table. They're not worried about paying their disposable income to go watch hockey right now.
And no, everybody's money is tied up in toilet paper and disinfectant wipes.
Not mine. I can't buy any.
You can't toilet paper or disinfectant
can't
wipes.
Can't spare a square.
Can't spare
no,
a
I got
square.
Disinfectant wipes. And thankfully, I happen to have a number of rolls in advance.
There you go. You stocked up ahead of time.
I can take from the office as well.
You can also steal if you need to. That's always important. Also, we mentioned earlier we wanted some good news stories. Shout out to our buddy Ron, who tweeted at us talking about his son, Ethan. His son was one game away from the finals before hockey got canceled. Obviously, a disappointed young man. He's picking up his chin. He's doing his schoolwork at home. Ron nominates his son for the best son any father could ask for. So, sure, send us comments like that. Mike also chimed in. The South Winnipeg Kings Pee-wee team, who raised so much money for Reese Kethler. Absolutely, they did a fantastic job. They got national attention, deservingly so, for the great job they're doing. We want to hear your good news stories. If you want to give a shout-out, if your son or your daughter are doing some great things, trying to pick up people's spirits in the face of this uncertainty, let us know. Add a legal curve. Send us your text, 129090. We'll get it on the air as best we can today and then, of course, next Saturday as well. When we come back, Stephen Wino from the Associated Press is going to join us, and coming up in about 1 hour's time, the return of the Ezzies. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.